be no way. And that's hard to believe sometimes because we look at things and we think, there ain't no way out of this. But see, that's just what we see. God will make a way when there ain't no way. That's a blessing. All right, let's go to our Bibles now tonight. Here, let's go back to our study here. We had one of the greatest Bible studies last Wednesday night. And I've been dreading this all evening because I think, Lord, we can't have no better one we had last week. And I feel like it's not going to be. But it's still the Word of God, and it's still real, and it's good. And we're going to chapter 6, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 6. Study the Bible. One of the commandments in the Bible is to study. You're supposed to read the Bible, and you're supposed to study the Bible. Some people, all they don't do is study. Some people, all they want to do is read it. Some don't want to do neither one. But you're supposed to read the Bible and study the Bible. You should be a constant reader of the Bible. And you should be a person who studies the Bible. Well, we don't, not as important as studying books about the Bible. We need to study the Bible, just the text, the Scripture. So tonight, Ecclesiastes. If you haven't been with us, the Ecclesiastes means the preacher, the called out assembly, called out a group. That's what a church is. A church is ecclesia, and that means it's a called out group. You know, when people go down the road there and they see your car in this parking lot, and they just see us here 3 and 4 times a week, that's a testimony of the world that we're called out from them. That we're not a part of what they are. Don't mean we're any better than they are or nothing like that. It just means we're called out to assemble to worship God. And then one day, literally, He will call us out of this world. And so the Bible talks about Ecclesiastes. Solomon, the smartest man never lived. The wisest man never lived beside Jesus Christ, wrote this book, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The two key phrases to understand Ecclesiastes are vanity of vanities and under the sun. You have to remember that. And if you don't remember that, you'll get confused in this book. Under the sun. Everything he's talking about in Ecclesiastes, for the most part, is life under the sun. Not talking about heaven, hell, or eternity. Man's life under the sun. Our 60, 70, 80 years. Of course, back then, you know, then it was much longer. And then he's going to give us these things. So we've been talking about this. Now I want to back up in chapter 5. We really had to hurry a lot in chapter 5 our last week. Let's back up and get that verse 18 again. Verse 18 and 19 again, okay? Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely. Comely means pretty or nice or easy to look at or pleasant. Pleasant. Comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he takes under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. Look at the bottom of it. For it is his portion. It is his portion. Remember that. Now let's study about that just a minute, and then we're going to get in chapter 6. Did you know every one of us gets a portion? Your house, your car, your family, your kids, your mom, dad, your land, that's your portion. If you had 100 children all lined up at a table, you'd just give them some oatmeal, here's some cereal, and here's some ham biscuit, and here's that. You'd give every one of them their portion. That's the way God does us. He gives us a portion. It's all like we have an assigned seat. Now, I'm going to tell you how to be happy. I'm going to tell you something that you couldn't get in college or universities or anything. I'm fixing to tell you how to be a happy person. And the way to be a happy person is be happy and content with the portion that God gave you. That's the way to be happy. You know why people are not happy? They're always wanting this and wanting that and wanting this and wanting that. And I've done that. I'm the same way you are. I'm made out of the same stuff. We're always wanting something we ain't got, thinking that if we had it, it'd make us happy. But have you ever noticed all the people who got all that stuff ain't happy? They commit suicide and stay on drugs and everything else trying to be happy. They say if you get your heart set on things, you're going to be disappointed. I promise you, you're going to be disappointed in life because things can't make you happy. What makes you happy is saying, God, this is my portion. This is what you've given me, and I'm just going to enjoy the fool out of it. and thank you for what you've done. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I don't like what God's given me. Well, I tell you what you can do. You can feel sorry for yourself. You can do it, but you can't change it. You can't change your nose. Well, yes, you can if you've got enough money. Michael Jackson had half his sawed off. You can't change it. You can't change, I don't know, your height, your stature. You can wear high heels. You can't change maybe your talent. You can't change a lot of things, but just say, this is what God gave me. Thank God I'm going to be happy with it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have the capacity to enjoy. Y'all listening? People don't have the capacity to enjoy. That's what's wrong with America. We're not able to enjoy what we've got. We always think, if I had what so-and-so's got, and I had this, and I had that car, and I had that house. And then when you get it, you think, well, if I wasn't married to you. You know, and then if I didn't have a better job, or I looked better. And it's always something. Have you ever noticed that there's, we'll get to this again here in a minute. There's people that are got a little old house or maybe a trailer or something in a trailer park, and they're just as happy as a person can be. Go fishing on the weekends and catch them some fish and sit out there, you know. I had an uncle like that. My Uncle Paul, before he died, you know what he loved to do? Some of y'all gonna laugh when you hear this. His idea of an exciting, fulfilling Saturday was he'd take one of them big black iron frying pans and a whole thing full of taters, he called them taters, and go to Jonas Ridge, and he'd build a fire and fry them taters and eat them hot taters up on Jonas Ridge. To me, I don't see what he'd get out of that. I like taters, but I ain't going to drive all the way to Jonas Ridge and fry them on a frying pan. I'll just get some potatoes. He loved to do that. He had the capacity to enjoy that. I mean, you don't have to be rich to be happy, people. You got to learn how to appreciate what you've got. That's what Solomon was saying. That's your portion. That's your portion. Now, every one of us, I ain't trying to sound super spiritual and make you feel guilty. I would love to have, you know, more of this or more of that or lots of things I'd love to have. But I cannot let myself dwell on that because it's going to make me miserable. I can't have it no way. So you might as well just forget it and say, this is my portion. This is my portion. And, you know, I was telling him the other day, I've been singing a country song for about a month, and I don't even know who wrote it, who sung it, what the name of it is, and I've never heard it except on this guy's answering machine. And he's the guy that's doing work over at the church. I have to call these guys almost every day. The guy that's putting in our ceiling, I have to call the plumbers, I have to call the electricians, I have to call them all the time. And every time I call this guy, a voice comes on and says, Lord knows I'm a lucky man. I got a house and a piece of land. How many of you have ever heard that song? Are you a bunch of hypocrites? I've never heard it except on his answering machine. And you know, the first time I thought, you know, that's right. God has been good to me. He said my old truck's still running. My pickup ain't broke down on me. My dog still barks and I don't know what all. And I got to think about that. Lord knows I'm a lucky man. Got a house and a piece of land.
Yeah.
God's done something for me. What is it, Jason?
A few dollars in a coffee can.
That's it. Got a few dollars in a coffee can. Now listen. You know there's people in Hollywood, if that's all they had, they'd be committing suicide. But that old boy says, I got me some money up in the coffee can.
Yeah, right.
I got my dog barks, my pickup runs. And I'm sure it says somewhere in there, I got me a little sweet woman somewhere. I'm sure that's got to be in the song somewhere. And a kid or something like that. And the guy that's doing our ceiling over there, it just characterizes him. I mean, that's just the way he's happy. He told me, I said something about, man, we're getting rich off this church. He said, I won't be rich. He said, I got a house. I got a kid, a wife. You know, that's rare, brother, to find somebody that's just happy with what they've got. That's so rare in our society. We're in a society, you know what the Bible said? Thou shalt not covet. We ain't to that one yet, are we, in Sunday school? It's coming, though. Thou shalt not covet. That's one of the hardest commandments. We talk about lying, committing adultery, everything. That's one we break all the time. People that would never commit adultery, people that would never murder nobody, live their whole life coveting what somebody else has got. And that's one of the Ten Commandments, too. Right, Brother Derek? That's going to be a rough one. We're going to all lay out that Sunday. No, that's going to be rough because you know what the Bible says. You say, what does that mean? It said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house or his land. Translated, his car, his job, his wife, his children, his nothing. You're not supposed. What does covet mean? Really want it. You're not supposed to want nothing somebody else has got. You want us to all bow our heads and come to the altar and repent? You're not supposed to want something your neighbor's got. Yeah, that's impossible unless you're happy with what God, your portion. What's your portion tonight? What your portion is, you say, I don't like my portion. Well, it ain't going to help to cry. It ain't going to change. It's like we own a seat assigned on an airplane. Some people got a better seat. Some people got a worse seat. There's a lot of people better off than me in this world. And there's a lot of people worse off than me in this world. Lord knows I'm a lucky man.
Amen.
I got a house and a little piece of land. And I got a little money, but it ain't in the coffee can. And I ain't going to tell you where it is. It ain't in the bank, neither. I'm going to tell you something. Lord knows I'm a lucky man. Amen? And you say, well, Brother Danny, I ain't lucky. Well, you know, one of the worst sins in the Bible is complaining.
Amen.
Is murmuring. God really, He wiped a bunch of them out for murmuring and complaining. Surely you can find something good about your situation. Most of us in here tonight, listen, you ought to shout just because you live in America. Just because you get to live in this country. You can come in here and have church and I can preach anything I want to. I mean, I ain't going to say stuff like Obama's pastor. He's a nut. But I'm gonna tell you what's on my heart and what the Bible says. Amen?
Thank God.
Amen. Lord knows I'm a lucky man. Our choir will be singing that Sunday morning. Got a house and a piece of land. All right. That's your portion. Be careful that you thank God for your portion. Look at that. Verse 19. And every man also to whom God given riches and wealth hath given him power to eat thereof. See, it ain't going to do you no good to have a bunch of stuff if you can't eat. And to take his portion, this is the gift of God. It's God. I know some of us are fasting today, but it's God that'll let me enjoy something tomorrow morning, buddy, if I get to. It's God that's going to let me do that. And when I put that bite of food in my mouth, man, I'd like to have bacon and eggs and a big thing of chocolate milk. And I put that in my mouth and say, I'm a lucky man. God let me enjoy this food that I'm eating. See, that's the capacity to enjoy. A lot of people don't have the capacity. They don't. There's some people, you couldn't make them happy if you put filet mignon on a gold platter and put it in there. I mean, bought them a gold Cadillac and a brand new mansion made out of diamonds. They'd find something wrong with it and some way to make themselves miserable. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
I dread being around people like that. If it's too hot, it's too cold. I'm burning up. I'm freezing. I'm hungry. I'm too fat because I ate. I'm starving. I didn't eat. I want to eat. I don't want to eat. I don't like this. I don't like that. This don't fit me right. This don't feel right. My hair looks awful. Shut up. Just thank God for what He's done for you and be able to enjoy your portion. Anybody want to say something on that? I've talked long enough. Go ahead, brother.
I'm sitting here about to explode.
Go ahead, brother. Lucky man. That man. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, bro. Amen. You're a lucky man.
I got supper in the oven and a good woman's loving.
Woo! Yeah! I was wondering what that restaurant was. Preach! That'll preach. Well, I got supper in the oven. One out of two ain't bad. I'm a lucky man anyway. All right, anybody else right quick? Anybody else? Right quick. Do what? No, what'd you say, Don? Yeah, you're right. You're right. Anybody else? Anybody else right quick? This is Bad Wednesday. Good time to give testimony. Yeah, you are. Now look, I'm not trying to sound spiritual tonight, because there's been some times when it was hard for me to enjoy my portion. It tasted awful. But still, there's something down in there you can thank God for somewhere. When it's the worst days of your life. As a matter of fact, if you want God to bless you, start saying, Lord, you've been good to me. Really, I ought to be in hell, but I'm not. And you know what, Lord, I ain't got a lot that a lot of other people's got, but bless God, I've got you. And I have got a Bible that I can believe in. And I've got a church I can go to. I got brothers and sisters I can fellowship with. Amen. I'm a lucky man. We don't really believe in luck, but that's what it says, the song. I've sung that song for 3 weeks. Every time I call that guy, that's how I hear it. All right. Here we go. Chapter 6, verse 1. We're just going to read this. We ain't got time to get into all of it tonight. There is an evil which I've seen under the sun, and it is common among men. What is this evil? A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof. Think about that. But a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it's an evil disease. What is this disease? This disease is a man that has a bunch of stuff, but his health is so bad he can't enjoy it. What a bummer. Boy, you talk about something. Here's a man that has everything, but hath not power. Now, that's one shape I've never been in. I've been in bad shape before. And I've been where I couldn't eat for, a little bit, a day or two, because of the tore up. But I'm telling you, brother, I can always enjoy food. I mean, I'm sick as a dog, I can eat. I'm like my bulldog. That thing, he'd eat on his deathbed. They'll do it. Bulldogs eat on their deathbed. And you know what? It would be awful. It'd be awful to have a check in your pocket that you could write for $100,000 and then pass up Western Sizzling, Fats, Abley's, Butch's, and think, I can't eat there. I'd rather have $10 in my pocket and be able to eat at one of them than have $100,000 in my pocket and not be able to eat. Can you eat? Is anybody in here? Can y'all eat? I mean, is there anybody in here who can't eat? I'm not talking about fasting. I mean, who just can't. Well, you're better off than a millionaire who's got an evil disease. Think about that. Now look, verse 3. If a man beget 100 children. You say, Brother Danny, that's allegory. No. These men in the Bible had 60 and 70 children. I mean, it was common in the Old Testament because they had plural wives. Back there in the Old Testament, God allowed men to have, some of them have 12, 13, 14 wives, like them guys out in Colorado and Utah still do, because they think they're Jews in the Old Testament. They don't understand the Scripture. And it would be not uncommon for a man to have 100 children. I mean, Brigham Young had 60 or 70, didn't he? A whole bunch. And that verse says, if a man have 100 children. But if you had 100 children nowadays, of course, like some of those rap singers, but they're too sorry and low down to support their own kids. They're man enough to father a child, but not man enough to support it. But he said this. He said, a man have 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, also have no burial. I say that an untimely birth is better than he. A miscarriage. A miscarriage is better than a man who can't enjoy what God's given. You know what happened to that miscarriage? Verse 4. For he, the guy who's the miscarriage, cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. A little fellow who's a miscarriage and never has to see no trouble and never has to hurt and never has to have his heart broke and never has to have the toil and shame is better off than the man that had 100 kids and a nice house but couldn't enjoy it. That's something in it. You know, that's some deep stuff, people. I wish they'd teach stuff like this in school. They need to teach kids stuff like, we'll talk about that in a minute, about eating. Did you know everything you get comes from the ground? We're going to get to it here in this minute. It's in there somewhere, ain't it? I thought it was. Anyway, his name will be covered with darkness. You go out there and say, who was that fella? I don't know. He never was. I preached funerals of little babies like that. I preached funerals of babies who were born dead, stillborn and stuff. They never seen the light of the sun. Never. I preached several of them like that. They have a little bitty casket, looked like a shoebox. About like that. Somebody carries it in, sets it down, and people just bawl their eyes out. You know, just like you'd known it for years. I mean, it hurts a mama to lose a kid like that. And I'd be sad. I've never went through anything like that. But, you know, there's a little tombstone there. And sometimes they'll name it, stuff like that. There's little tombstones all over this country. They never seen the light of day. Remind me of a story I heard. Sort of funny, but it don't go with that too good, but it's funny. Did you hear about that guy? This guy came up years ago, and his name was Odd. Odd, O-D-D, Odd. I don't know why they named him that. And all his life, he got kidded, and he got ridiculed, and he got made fun of because his name was Odd. And he said, I hate that name. He said, when you bury me, don't you dare put that on my tombstone. I don't want nothing on my tombstone. Just let it be a rock there over my head. I don't want nobody to ever call me that again. So that's what they did. He died finally. They just put him in the ground and stuck a little rock up right there. Two fellas walked by and said, isn't that odd? His name was in darkness. His name was in, he's covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun. They called him out after he's dead. Verse 6. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told. Nobody's ever done that. Methuselah was 969, the oldest man to ever live. Yet hath he seen no good. Look at verse 6 now. Do not all go to one place? There's where false doctrine comes from. People say, see, there ain't no heaven and hell. Everybody goes to the same place. You've got to remember, Solomon in Ecclesiastes is talking about under the sun. If you look at it that way, where's the one place everybody's going to? The grave. The grave. He's not talking about eternity. He's not talking about heaven. He's not talking about hell. We all go to one place. Boy, that's a statement, isn't it? They just said the other day to old Patrick Swayze. You know, people used to laugh at me with him all the time because me and him's almost exactly the same age. I come up with him, beat him up every day at school. But I probably could. He's a little sissy kind of a guy. But anyway, Patrick Swayze's got cancer. Did y'all hear about that? It's been all over. I've seen it at the grocery stores, on the magazines, and he's dying. It showed him with a cigarette, about to die with cancer, all that kind of stuff. I don't know if that's true or not. But isn't it amazing? Patrick Swayze will go to the same place in a trailer park that just drinks himself to death. Go, and all his money can't change it, and all his money can't save him. And all might prolong your suffering a little bit, but they all go to one place. Old Johnny Carson, he's gone. David Letterman, Jay Leno, all them guys at Life, they're all going to one place, a hole in the ground. And they're going to bury every one of them. That's a sobering thought. That's something we need to think about. Britney Spears, Hannah Montana, everybody, they're going to a hole in the ground, buddy. Same place me and you's going if the Lord don't come. Verse 7. Here it is. That's one. All the labor of man is for his mouth. and yet the appetite is not filled. Boy, that's a verse, ain't it? All the labor of man's for his mouth. Why do you work? Feed your face. That's why you work. That's why you buy. You know why you work? Buy groceries. You know why you buy groceries? Feed your mouth. All your labor is for your mouth. You ladies, I want me a good husband. Why? So he can go to work and feed your mouth. That's putting it down there. That's raw. That's putting it down where the rubber meets the road. But that's what he's saying. All the labor of man's for his mouth. And yet the appetite is not filled. You can eat filet mignon, filet mignon, what I call it when I go to a restaurant, just to see what the waitresses say. I said, I want some of that filet mignon. They look at you like, you hick. But you can eat shrimp. I eat lobster the other day, y'all. I've only eaten lobster like 3 times in my life. They got it at Long John Silver's, and it's a little bitty tiny bites. It ain't that big. You can't tell it's lobster. Has anybody seen that special they got on? For like $2.99, you get lobster bites, and they're a little bitty cup of them about like that. It just tastes like eating little crunchy popcorn. I don't know if I had any lobster. It didn't have that much lobster meat in it. But you can eat lobster. You can eat caviar. I don't know why anybody would eat that. You can eat crocodile, rattlesnake, whatever, and tomorrow you'll be hungry again. The appetite is not filled. Look at verse number 8. For what hath the wise more than the fool? And what hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? What hath the wise man more than the fool? Listen, man up here, fishing on the riverbank Saturday, eating sardines and crackers, can enjoy that just as much as a millionaire on his yacht in the Bahamas can enjoy that. He really can. He really can. So what good is it? Vanity. What good is riches? What good is it to be wiser than anybody else? Under the sun, ain't no good. All is vanity. Look at verse number. You say, well, I'd sure enjoy a yacht in the Bahamas more than I'd enjoy it. I think I would too. But if a man can enjoy that and appreciate it, he's just as satisfied as the guy that's got the yacht. I tell you one thing he don't have that the guy with the yacht, all the headaches. Well, where am I going to park this thing? And my insurance going up, and somebody, you know, and I'm afraid to leave it in Florida, and the hurricane's coming. You know, he don't have to worry about all that stuff. All right? Verse 9. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. That's a strange verse. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. I don't know. Y'all help me. Better the sight of the eyes. Here's our Bible right in front of our eyes. Isn't that better than trying to go to Mars and inhabit the planets? And stuff, the wandering of the desire. Isn't that better? The Bible's 14 inches in your eyes right now. And it's sure and settled and steadfast. Every bit of money our space program has spent on going to the moon and going to Mars has been wasted. I'd say that. That's awful. They ain't found one thing that's benefited mankind. They brought back some rocks. They brought back... All they found is what we already knew anyway. There ain't no people up there. There ain't no water up there. And if there is anybody up there, they're not your friend. I promise you that. They're visiting from higher places, principalities and powers of the hour. Air. All right? Of the hour. All right. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. Who can comment on that verse? Give me an example. Come on, y'all. Get your brains working. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. Maybe like a bird in the hand or two in a bush or whatever. Something like that.
Better what you can actually see than what you can desire. Like you're talking about fish, you can see like James, but that's better than walking the Bahamas.
That's right. Than the wondering of the desire. Anybody else? There you go. Appreciate what God's put right in front of you and said, always once wishing you lived in Hollywood or wishing you was here or wishing you was there. Anybody else? Bible example? You always try to get you a Bible example of a verse. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wondering of the desire. Anybody? I got one right off the top of my head. Abraham and Lot. Old Lot looked over his desire, wondered out there. Abraham said, I'll just stay right here with my sheep. And old Lot had the wondering under the desire. Look what happened to him. Anybody else? There you go. Adam and Eve. Boy, that's a good one, brother. Adam and Eve. Eve had the wondering of the desire, didn't she? And man, we're still in a mess. Anybody else? Prodigal son. There you go. That's a good one. That's good. See how that King James Bible clicks together? It's all one unit, wound up together. And your job is, like the old country preacher told me one time, I was about 21, 2 years old, he said, "Danny, you can unravel that Bible better than any young preacher I ever heard." And I never have forgot him saying that, unravel the Bible. That's what we're doing. We're unraveling it when you do it like that. Anybody else?
David.
That's right. The one David had more than one wife. He had everything he wanted, but he wandered in his desire. And look at the trouble it got him into. Anybody else? Who? Samson, same thing. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wondering of the desire. All right, let's read this up, and I'm going to stop. I took too long. Verse 10, that which hath been is named already. We done went over that. And is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Obviously, you can't fight against God. You can't fight against somebody that's more strong than you. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? What good is it if you have everything? What good is it if you're rich? For who knoweth what is good for man in his life? All the days of his vain life, which he spent of God. That's rough, ain't it? All the days of your wasted, vain, ridiculous, boring life. They spend as a shadow, for who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Anybody want to say something? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But thank God we know the rest of the story. There's heaven waiting on us, and that makes it all make sense. All right. We're going to stop right here.